adult crime, adult time was a policy that the Queensland LNP took to last year's state election and won. Now, the Victorian Labor government has announced a similar policy to tackle an increase in youth crime in the state.
There are too many victims and not enough consequences. It's why Victoria will introduce adult time for violent crime, where the courts will treat children for these crimes like adults, where jail will be more likely and sentences will be longer.
That's the Premier Jacinta Allen announcing the Adult Time for Violent Crime Bill yesterday. Well, joining me now is Meena Singh, Victoria's Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People. And Meena, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Sally.
How significant is the increase of youth crime in Victoria right now?
I think there's a lot of talk about youth crime in Victoria, obviously, right now. And what we're seeing is the impact of changes in bail laws that are putting more children and young people into places like Cherry Creek and Parkville. And we have heard that Malmesbury is going to reopen. So we're certainly seeing more and more children getting caught up in the criminal legal system.
And we've also seen an increase in the number of offences as well when it comes to youth crime, particularly things like stealing cars. That's become more of a youth-focused offence.
Yeah, as well as I think things like shop theft and retail theft, those sorts of things as well. So we're really talking about property, kind of property types of offences.
And some of these, when there are home invasions, when people are trying to steal keys for a vehicle, some of those are not only property offences, they're violent offences as well.
We're seeing that there's violence being involved, yeah, and people who are victims of those offences are deserving absolutely of all the supports and resources that they need to be able to feel safe again and to be able to recover, because that is such an invasion of their safety and their privacy.
So how do we get the balance right here? Obviously, there are concerns about the welfare of these young people, but also significant concerns about members of the public who are being targeted by these offences.
I mean, you're using the right words, that it's absolutely a balance. You know, what we heard from the government yesterday is that they're listening to victims of these sorts of violent offences, and they absolutely should be listened to. But what we find at the Commission, and what lots of different organisations such as Victoria Legal Aid, such as advocates and people who work directly with children and young people who have offended, who are offending, we need to also listen to what they're saying about the drivers for their offending. And that's where we need to get that balance right. We need to talk and understand what it is that is driving this sort of offending, so that we're not only just addressing the behaviours, but we're also understanding and addressing and providing responses to their needs as well, to prevent this type of behaviour starting in the first place.
To meet those needs, what sort of things are we talking about there?
I mean, they're the things that we've talked about for a long time, and they're really, honestly, very basic things that we start off with. We start off with making sure children and young people, all children and young people, have a safe and stable home environment. So many of the kids that we see at the Commission who have become engaged with the criminal legal system have got backgrounds of trauma, have experienced family violence. We know that there's an overrepresentation in the youth justice system of children who are in out-of-home care or who have had contact with the child protection system. And so that means they've had significant trauma, those things like family violence. They've had perhaps a physical or sexual assault in the home. They've they've lived with neglect and a whole range of other issues. So responding to trauma when it's experienced, but also putting in place the measures that make sure that children are safe at home. Also that they're connected with their education. We hear too often about children who are having difficulties being suspended, being expelled without the proper supports to make sure that they continue to engage in education. We know that when children are disengaged from education, that sadly leaves them with a lot of time at their disposal. And that's when we sometimes see children and young people coming into contact with the criminal legal system. But we also need to really work with children and young people to understand what it is that they're the challenges that they're facing, who it is that's worrying them, what are the concerns in their lives, and really thinking about putting them at the centre of services to address that.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. We're talking about youth crime laws in Victoria. The Premier, Jacinta Allen, has said too many victims keep saying there are not enough consequences. Would you agree there are not enough consequences for youth offenders?
I think it's difficult to say about consequences because, you know, obviously there's a time lag between the data that we're seeing now about contact with police that the Crime Statistics Agency captures and then how those offences are responded to in courts. And we know that actually the highest number of court orders that are made are diversions away. But the court needs to, you know, children's court needs to be able to look at each child in their individual circumstances and create dispositions that respond to that will show consequences for the offences, but will also respond to what the needs are for that child. So, you know, that's the court's responsibility, and it's also the youth justice system's responsibility to follow through on whatever orders there are, whatever supports are required as part of those sentencing dispositions.
Victoria's treaty agreement is set to be formally signed today. How significant is that moment, do you think?
It's significant, but Sally, yesterday I was at an Aboriginal Justice Community Forum at the Aboriginal Advancement League, and the feeling in the room, and you know, it brings together government departments and organisations that are part of the Aboriginal Justice Agreement, which was made in which was made some 25 years ago, following the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And you know, there are people in that room that have been involved in Aboriginal justice and lowering over-representation of children and young people and adults in the justice system for decades. And the feeling was absolutely palpable of sadness about what these new laws are going to mean for Aboriginal children, because what we see is that when we talk about bringing in specific laws for specific issues, we always see Aboriginal children experiencing poverty, experiencing mental health, disability, a whole range of things. The most vulnerable children in our community are disproportionately picked up. So honestly, it was a bittersweet day yesterday with the signing of treaty and also hearing the announcement of this new policy and laws.
Menacing, thank you very much for being my guest this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Sally. Appreciate it.